you reign. You are the Lord of lords and you're the King of kings. And you reign. You're sovereign God. You are in control, God. There's nothing that goes apart from your will and your knowledge. Thank you that we can worship you, that we have offered you a sacrifice of praise. Thank you, Jesus. We pray that what we say, what we do here will be about truth, that the truth that we know in your word, and that we glorify and we lift up your name, Jesus, that this is not about man, about any one of us, but about you, the supreme Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Amen.
Hello. Testing. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Well, just to let you guys know, this past week we had a memorial service here for lunch. Daryl Strawberry, many of you probably don't know him, but got to know this young man. And he's not with us any longer. Amen? But his last post on Facebook were about the Lord, you know, and his relationship, I believe, blossomed in this last 6, 7, 8, 9 months or a year or whatever. And then this coming Wednesday, we have another memorial service. It's for Ronnie Houle. It'll be here at 1 o'clock on June 29th. So those of you who knew Ronnie Houle, service will be here. I knew him. I got to know him a little bit. He was in Lazarus' house. He did some work in the place here. And I also had a contract for a friend of mine out on the east side of Red Deer building some cabinets. And so Ronnie came and gave me a hand there, you know, so I got to know him. And he really appreciated that because he's, you know, his thing was the alcohol. It would just get a hold of him and just drag him wherever, eh? But he felt that if he could work, you know, that would definitely help him. So that'll be here on Wednesday. Just a few things. The Lazarus boys, I guess, that's Ray. Yeah. The Lazarus boys, they're going on a canoe trip. Amen. Yeah. They're heading out to Drumheller. They're leaving here tomorrow morning. And so pray for them that they have a safe trip, a real knitting together of their hearts, amen, and we'll be able to pick them up and drum there, have some sort of way of getting these guys back. Otherwise, I told them the other day, I said, or else you're going to have to go upstream, back up. So by the time you get to Red Deer, you'll be all buffed out and stuff. So, but anyway, praise God. Next Sunday, we have Praise in a Park. So I don't know if you're familiar with that. Praise in a Park is just down the road here, down at Bower Ponds. So if you just go through the sidewalks here and just walk all down there, you'll get there. I believe it starts at 3 o'clock. So we'll have some good worship time there and so forth. Amen? So everybody's invited. We also have, coming up on July 24th, Morning of Faith service over at the Westerner at the Centrium on July 24th. So there won't be no service here. It'll be over there. But we will have vehicles here if you want to come. I mean, I know it's a long ways off, but just put that in your mind and have it there. But we'll have some vehicles here to pick people up to take them over there. And I just really believe this is one of the repercussions of our prayer for the city to lift up Red Deer. Amen. As God's people begin to pray, things begin to happen. Amen. And so as we continue to pray for Potter's Hands Amen. Let's just continue to do that. To call forth the fullness of God's plans for potter's hands. Amen. His plans. We have plans. Man has plans. But God has the last say. Amen. And so we recognize that, you know. So really pray into that, that God's plans will come forth for the for potter's hands, the kitchen, the Lazarus house, every part of it. All the Bible studies that are going on, that God's blessing will be upon it and direction. Amen. Other than that, I don't have too much more to say, but I just want to read a scripture to you folks here. It's found in Isaiah 41, verse 10. So some of you may be going through some trials, tribulations, maybe right now. But the word of God says, this is what God says. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Amen. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen. So this is the promises of God. This is his promise towards us who believe. Amen. So you might find yourself in some sort of struggle this morning, but I'm telling you today that our God is a living God. Amen. He's not a religion. This is not religion. Amen. This is a personal relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ. So I had an opportunity here the other day just to share a little bit with a lot of secular people, and hopefully on next Wednesday again, you know. But just to get the gospel out there, like this world is eroding, in case you didn't know that, it's eroding. And so this earth is passing away, but we make it our aim to live for the next life, amen. That's the one that's going to count, amen. So if we seek to save our life here, we lose it there. But if we lose our life here, for his sake and for his kingdom, we'll get it there. Amen? So, greatly encourage you. Here's what I believe what funerals are about. Yes, they're a memorial service for the people. But I believe it's for the living, the people that are alive. Amen? Make people aware we're not living forever on this planet. We're just passing through. This is the training ground for the next life. Amen? So encourage your friends, brothers, family members. Get connected to Jesus Christ. Amen? I tell you, it's the best thing that's going on. There's Muslims out there in the Iraq and Iran that are coming to Jesus. They're having visions of Jesus Christ. Having visions. Jesus Christ is coming to them. These guys, I tell you, you know, they're caught up in a deception, a vile, evil deception. Makes them think, you know, that by killing people, this is going to get them entrance into the kingdom of God. Not anywhere close. Amen? So pray about that and get the word out there. We want to spread the gospel this year very powerful way. So I just want to end in prayer. Lord God, that each of us here, Lord God, know that this life here, Lord God, is the training ground for the next, Lord God. So we surrender our lives here, Lord God, to you, Jesus. And because now you can take it and use it for the furtherance of your kingdom, oh God. God, this thing is just passing away. My life is just going by so fast, just like that, like a blink of an eye, Lord God, and it's gone and it's over. But Lord God, only what's done for you and through you and by the power of your Spirit will last forever. So bless my brothers, bless my sisters here. And may Stan just give us an awesome word this morning. I trust that he's been with you, and that word will just resonate in our hearts, Lord God. Open up our hearts to hear from you this morning as our brother brings forth the word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. God is good. Amen? And what you read, what was that? Did you say where you read from? I know that, but which chapter in Isaiah? 41. That's a test. He had to think about it. That just really was confirmation for me. I've been kind of going back and forth this morning going, well, Lord, what do you want us to talk about? What do you want? Because it doesn't matter what I want, you know, and I'm prepared to do whatever you want, Lord. I'll change whatever I've planned. And that was just a real confirmation. Don't be afraid. And the music as well. You know, all about God reigns. And this is a message that we need to hear today. God reigns. Jesus really is the Lord. He's got so much more power than what we have any sense of. We have no appreciation of the amazing power of our sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to focus on that today. And that we don't need to be afraid. And even about death, even what you said about death, you know, that's just some of the thoughts that God had been sharing with me and things I've been talking about to him in the last week. Man, death, you know, there's no sting. There's no enemy, not when you know Jesus Christ. So we're going to get to that, okay? There's a bunch of stuff we're going to get to, but I really also felt like we just need to loosen up a little bit and give thanks to God. That there, and for me, maybe this is very selfish. I do it for me because I get empowered by this. I hear your gratitude, and it resonates off of my heart. And I know if that happens to my heart, I can just imagine what it does to God's heart when we offer a sacrifice of praise. When we just, you know, again, we don't take long time. We just do short. Just this is what I'm thankful for. The reason for that is usually the longer we go, the more it becomes about me and the less about God. So just keep it short. But the question is, what are you thankful for? How can you praise God today? What can you say, God, I'm just grateful because you answered this prayer or because you're doing this in my life or my family? Let's just praise him and thank him for a bit here. And I know that's going to honor God. Who's first? Yeah, Ray. For music and ministry. And we're going to just get a microphone because I know this stuff gets recorded. Apparently, there's about 1.5 million people who listen to this service every... No, that's not true. You want to pass that around? But whoever listens to it, we want them to be able to hear this, right? What are you thankful for? Do you come here today with a heart that's full of joy? Are you ready to say thank you, Jesus? If so, what for? Rob.
Scrambled eggs.
Yeah, hey. Amen. For food, for breakfast. Some people didn't have it this morning. What are you thankful for? Don, and then Tamara. Yeah, I heard your name earlier. Just wait till the mic comes, if you don't mind, Tamara. We want to hear you, girl.
I'm thankful for celebrating my mother's 90th birthday the other day with her.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God.
I'm thankful for Friday when I got an eye exam, and the doctor, a young man, reddish blonde hair, born in Edmonton, and of course I had a drop of something about God, and he said, oh, I'm practicing Islam. And I went, oh. And I said, well, what about Jesus Christ? He said, well, he was a prophet. I said, no, he was God in the flesh. And he sat there and listened, and he didn't want to leave the conversation.
Oh,
he
really?
Wanted to keep going. So I thought, you got the time, fella, I got it too. So we continued going, and I was so refreshed when I came out of there. And he was smiling, he was thinking. He said, well, I'm trying religion out. I said, don't forget, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship.
Yeah.
So praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Sonny. Go ahead, Sonny. Hey, isn't it good to see Sonny in church, everybody? Woo! Yeah. God is good.
Thank you. And I just want to thank all the saints who prayed for me while I was cooped up in the chicken coop up on the hill here. I've got a couple more things to be thankful for. I was nearly sent into ICU, which they, if I would have been in there, probably I would not have been here today.
Yeah.
And so I'm thankful for that. The Lord spared me.
Amen.
And I know the Lord has a purpose for me. And so I'm also thankful for this dear wife of mine who just absolutely floored me. Give her a hand, folks. She deserves it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I am thankful for divine appointments. I am thankful for his faithfulness. And I am thankful for the relationships that he creates for each and every one of us to build us up in our faith.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, God. Give him praise.
Hi, my name is Bob. I'm thankful so much. I'm employed now. I have a job.
Yes.
I work.
Yes.
And thanks to Potter's hands, believe me, this, it's like I'm going in the right direction where I need to go. Amen. Thank you so much, everybody.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Wanda.
Hi there. I'm just so thankful that he's my healer.
My back is getting better slowly. He keeps pushing me the right way. So, oops, oh, I can see. Very blessed I am. Just my whole life. You know, I have my problems, but I have peace.
Thank you, Jesus. You say amen? Tim.
Last time we had this part of the service. I thank God for my daughter, Holly, getting her learner's license and also a job. As on May 14th. And since then, she's done really good driving. And Pastor Stan also prayed that she wouldn't have any accidents. And I never really thought of that part of it. But that was a really good prayer, too, that she's been safe. And also for her job, like, she's been working pretty well full-time at Wendy's and has done really well. And that's really good for her. And she's feeling good about all that. Thanks.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Woo. Yeah, amen. That's only one of them. Thank you, Lord. Nita needs a little more healing on her back. So while you're sitting here and you're thinking about other things, remember to pray for her. And there's others as well. We're going to address healing a little bit today, too. I just think that God wants to move us more and more in that direction. But okay.
Speaking of healing, Saturday when I awoke, me and Richard were going to go to the farmer's market, and the Holy Spirit told me, today you're going to meet somebody that needs healing. Yeah. I said, really? And I said, okay, I'll just wait for it. And we had stopped at our friend's healing tent that Frank Hanks used to run. And it was raining and it was drizzling, but I loved the rain. And we were standing there talking, and all of a sudden this family rolled up with this little boy in a stroller, and his name was Charlie, and he was deaf, and he had stomach problems. And God's compassion just washed over me, and I started to weep, and just laid my hands on him and prayed for him and prophesied over him, and it was absolutely amazing. And so just to be available for the Holy Spirit anywhere. And also, God has just been really, God is love, and love keeps no record of wrong, and we can love like God.
That's right.
We can love like him, because if we abide in him, and he abides in us. And so we can love like him. So I really encourage all of you to just love. Know that you can love like him. You know, 1 Corinthians 13. You read through that, you can love like that. You have the power of God within Amen. You to do that.
Good words. Thank you. Amen. Douglas.
Amen. Amen, Kim. Let no debt remain outstanding among you except the continuing debt to love one another. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I'm just thankful for grandbabies, cuddly, weathy little bundles of joy.
Amen. Who's thankful for children and grandchildren? Right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Whew. Anyone else? What are you thankful for? This is what we're offering this to God. No, just speak loudly.
Well, I can do that. I'm thankful for my son. He's finally given up the earthly things, and he does want to come to the Lord. He knows nothing about God, just like I was when I was young. And now, if I could, in my lifetime, bring all my family to the Lord, that's what I'm
going to
do.
Just forget it. All right, did you get that? It's about family members who come to know Jesus. Isn't that great when that happens? And we just keep praying for it. Every one of us has people we know. We all have family members or someone, you know, that's a neighbor or a friend that doesn't know the Lord yet. We know what we have. We know what he's done in our lives. That's what you're saying, right? Thank you, God, when you turn someone from darkness into light.
I'm thankful for sometimes you get to the end of your rope and you think you cannot do it anymore. You're done. You're too tired and you can't do it. And somehow God continues to give us the strength, and I just want to praise him for that today.
Okay. That's good. There's Barry and there's Derek and Eric.
Barry. Yeah, I'm thankful to be home.
Yeah.
That's a very powerful word for me, because I never considered a Red Deer to be home. But
give him glory.
A wise man told me that everything that I love is here. You know, I've got my family here. My blood relations, blood of the Lamb, but that's a more powerful relation than birth.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Good to have you back there, Eric. Barry.
How much time we have?
Short.
Well, I'm just thankful for all of you, all my brothers and sisters. I've been praying for a ministry for about 6 years, and the Lord has seen me fit now to run one.
Yep.
So I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for my volunteer jobs, for everything the Lord's bestowed upon me these days. Thank you.
Everyone say amen. Karina.
I wanted to say I'm thankful to God and Potter's Hands and Covenant Park. New place now. I'm thankful. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's good. Oh, go ahead.
I'm thankful for everything that God has done in my life and how he's used me and how he's brought people on my path and how he's lifted me up and how he's given me strength to do what I need to do and how to serve him. It's not an easy job to serve the Lord. It's hard work, but he gets me through every day.
Exactly.
Every day he gets me through. And I'm blessed by that.
Amen.
Knowing him and knowing how much he does in our lives.
Thank you, Jesus. Good word. Come on, stand up.
Hello.
Hi. Oh. Yeah.
Hello, I'm Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah. Heard a lot about you.
I've heard about you, too.
Oh, there you go. Mary is introducing me to the Lord.
Praise God.
Yeah, praise.
Amen.
I'm kind of halfway, yes, or better.
Yeah.
Only by her word.
Amen.
Every day.
Thank you, Jesus.
I love her at her place. And
yep. God loves you, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just got his arms open like this for you, saying, just come on in.
Yeah. I know quite a bit of the crowd here.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I hope you feel welcome.
I would like to say a word. I was here for Lunch's Ordeal.
Yeah.
And you asked a question, but I didn't think I could come up because I might break down. I've seen way too much.
Yeah.
And you asked a question. Why do you... They nickname him Lunch.
Yeah.
Catherine had a little bit of version there.
Yeah.
But I know the original version. Lunch told me right from himself sitting beside me and him are really good friends.
Yeah.
I'm Lunch's Whitey.
Yeah.
I tell everybody. I'm his
so
Whitey.
So why did they call him Lunch?
Okay. Okay. When he's children like that, mm-hmm. guys, they'd be running around the yard out there doing whatever they do. Have the window open just at lunchtime and yell lunch.
he answered to lunch, huh? Okay. That's good. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that. Amen. Sharon, we're just going to wrap it up.
Hi, everybody. Just want to let you guys know that...
just talk right into the mic.
I have anxiety, so my heart's going to jump out of my chest right now. But I just want to say I'm thankful for everybody that's been very friendly to us and welcoming. And I'm just very thankful for that, that we're a part of a great community.
We are.
Just thank you.
Amen. We welcome you. Too. So just so you know, this is Sharon. 3 children. She's getting into a place this week. And she is moving ahead with Jesus, right? Amen. Okay, we've got time for just a couple more. Derek?
I'm thankful my dear friend Yvonne drove up from Fort McLeod Friday, and we've just been fellowshipping all weekend, having a great time.
Thank you, Lord. Welcome. Here we go. Linda, and then one other one, okay?
I'm just thankful for will and determination and just facing every trial and God letting me facing it and just giving me strength.
Amen.
Every day. Even there are times that I wanna just wanna give up.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm thankful for raising 5 kids and 4 teenagers.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. All right.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Let's pray. God, thank you that all of these things are true, that you care for our every need, that you're always there. You are the risen Savior. You're alive. You empower us. You've delivered us, saved us even from ourselves. Thank you that you're the giver of all good gifts, including scrambled eggs and children who drive safely and all those things that we've mentioned. In all of this, we offer to you, Jesus. We want to return it back with just oozing with gratitude, with thankfulness, saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that when we're in the troubled times, that when things are hard and it seems like everything's against us, well, thank you that you're always there. And that you keep saying just that one thing, are you going to trust me? Just trust me. Thank you for friends and for the way we can support each other no matter what. Because you hold us together because we are your body, the body of Jesus Christ. So as we open your word, I pray God today you'll speak, that you will say some things that we really need to hear, and that it'll be the truth of your word very clearly. And that you'll empower us, God, that we will stop walking around so anemic and weak, and instead that we'll take the authority and the power that you've given us because of your lordship and because you are sovereign God, and that you tell us that we have that power. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Okay. Just one last thing. I'm so glad that Jerry and Gladys are here, and don't want to make a spectacle of you guys, but I'm just glad that you're here and that you're doing better, and we pray for you all the time. I know that you struggle with some weakness and health, and we love you so much, and thank you, God. Sonny's here. You guys are here. Is God good? Yeah. If you will, let's turn to Hebrews. Yeah, you can just do one more last. Okay, we're gonna I hate half-hearted clapping. So if we're going to do it, let's really do it. Otherwise, let's not, right? Woohoo! Hallelujah! Our God reigns. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Our God heals. Our God answers prayers. I believe it. I know it. And he doesn't abandon us, no matter what. He won't. All right, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Some of it will be on the screen. And this is, you know, all about Jesus relating to us. Sometimes we think, well, he's God. I mean, we're not like him at all. But the reality is Jesus came to be like us. He is fully human. He suffered like you suffered. He understood temptation. Just like you're going through tempting times, Jesus went through every kind of temptation, the Bible says. And he gets it. If there's a heading for this, it would be, Jesus gets it. He knows what you're going through. He was ridiculed and persecuted by religious people. He was nailed to a cross. He was a man in every way. He understands and he gets it. Read with me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all of their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but Abraham's descendants, that's you and me. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, and he is able to help those who are being tempted. Yeah, amen. You know, he suffered. He understands temptation. Maybe today you're going through something that's very tempting in your life. There's something that's enticing. There's some carrot that the enemy's holding out in front of you. He's saying, oh, try this or try it again. Why don't you, you know, do this, do that. You know what? We come to him. Jesus understands temptation. And what he says here is that he's going to help us. If we ask him, he's going to help us face that temptation and say, no way. I've been there. I've been down that road. I'm not going down that road again. Amen? So there's a couple things we want to try to accomplish today. One is I want to try to straighten out some bad theology So we're going to get into that, and you may or you may not agree with some of the things that are going to be said, but I'm going to back it up with the Word of God. And the second thing is I want to tell you about a dead person who's been in my garage for about a year. So we'll get to that. I know, you're going, oh, that can't be true. You just wait. You can leave now, that's fine, but you're not going to get that story. So you can take off, go get coffee, but this is all going to happen. There is, let me start with saying that there is power in death. It's a dark, negative kind of power, but the whole world knows that there's power in death. And like Pastor Alvin was saying, there's more and more, you know, instances of people rising up and doing completely unthinkable and awful things, taking all kinds of people's lives, using death as a power and to get a message or a medium across so people hear it and understand it, and their cause, backing up their cause with a bomb or with a submachine gun or some kind of a attack weapon. There's power in death, and we see it more and more, right? I mean, it was back in 1999 that Columbine High School, you know, there were 12 people got killed, and there was about another 12 that were injured. And that was an unthinkable day. Remember that day? I remember that day. Maybe some of you weren't born then, but I remember that. That was something that never happened before. Someone would actually go into school and kill a dozen people, dozen kids. And yet, you know, since that day, that has escalated, and the power of death and people using the power of death to cause such immense destruction is happening almost every single day. Almost every single day. And it's a problem. It's not a problem. It's a problem. People. It's a problem of education. It's a problem of guns. It's a problem of evil is really the heart of this. The problem of this is the problem of evil. And understanding that there is death and that there's a certain power that goes along with death that some people are using to unleash that power and for their cause or for their God sometimes, right? And that's true for lots of things. Suicide. How many people are committing suicide? We've had an epidemic of suicide in the last couple of years in some of the high schools in Red Deer. And there's a power. That's all I'm trying to say, that when we talk about death, death has inherently a power to it because people are afraid of death. And even when it comes to something like suicide, it's like when one young person takes their life, it's almost like there's power for the next person to do the same thing. And then for the next person, there's permission. And there's this enticing power in suicide that convinces people that if you just do this, you'll be free, right? You won't be lonely anymore. You won't be sad anymore. Just do this. Where does that come from? Where does that thinking come from? Well, there's a power in death, and it's evil and it's dark. It's because the reality, what we know as Christians, what we know is that death is an enemy that needs to be defeated, right? And has been defeated, thank God, through the blood of Jesus. Amen? Now you can clap for that. Death is an enemy that needed to be defeated. Death is a curse that happened at the cross at the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve fell into sin. The result of that, the punishment of that, was death. And it's still happening today. And where we don't have Jesus Christ, we don't have any hope. There's no hope. We need, it's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here, we need the one who died, the one who was like us. He's like us in every way. We need him because he died. He overcame death so that the enemy of death for you and me is no longer a victorious enemy. Amen? And one more example about the power of death. Think of war. Just think of war. There have been wars, all kinds of wars in the last 100 years. I just got this crazy thought this week. Just imagine if people didn't die in war. Like you couldn't kill anybody. Every time you shot someone, it's like a bad video game. You know, a minute later, they stand back up again, right? War would have no power if it wasn't for death. You agree with that? War would have no power if it wasn't for death. If every time that person kept popping up, after a while, you get tired of it, and you go, what were we fighting about again? Oh, why don't you just keep your country? I won't try to take it away, you know. So the start of this is just simply to understand that there is a power that comes with death. And it's a scary thing. You know, think about 50 people, 49 people that were gunned down a couple of weeks ago and the implications of that. and the families that grieved, and the funeral services, and the caskets that had to be bought. And, you know, it goes on, all the implications, the repercussions of this. You know, it went from city to city, people doing parades, and I'm not getting into all that, but just it was something that touched the heart of all of North America, if not most of the world, because of one person using the power of death to destroy so much, right? But here's where the theology part comes in. Our theology often is that we think that Satan is the one who holds the keys of death, that Satan's in control of death. And we like to blame him when they're, and I'm not saying he never gets blame, and I'm not saying either today that he hasn't got a lot of influence here. But what I want to say today is that Satan does not hold the keys of death. Satan does not hold the power of death. If you think that means that he can just go around killing whoever he wills. And I'm saying that because I hear that sometimes from you. Maybe even from me sometimes. I fall into that. Where we think, you know, there's death and there's all this bad stuff that happens. Well, that's all Satan's fault. But even Satan, know this today, even Satan needs to operate under the will of the sovereign God, our sovereign Lord. That's really true. It's true. So let's look at that passage, and I'm going to give you some more examples. I know some of you got a perplexed look on your faces. You don't like it, but just listen. Here's what he says here. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him, by Jesus' death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all of their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Let's just stop there. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, it sounds like it's saying that Satan holds the power of death. And I'm going to say, yeah, you're right. It does sound like that. It sounds like, can you put that on the screen or not? It sounds like we're saying Satan holds the power of death, but he doesn't hold death. Okay, he does two different things. The power of death and death itself are two different things. And he explains it, I believe the writer explains it in the next line when he says, by freeing those who all of their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. That is the power of death. You got to understand this. So the fear of death is the power of death. And yes, Satan holds the fear of death. He holds the power of death if we understand what that means, that it's about fear. He scares you. He'll threaten you. He's a terrorist. He's a bully. He'll say, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. But he can't. Okay? He can't. Apart from God's will, he can't. He'll say he's going to do it, but he only has the fear. You understand that? He frees those who all of their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. All of our lives, we've been held in slavery by the fear of death. And Satan knows exactly how to use that fear against us. But he does not hold the keys to life and death. And we need to understand that. We need to make that distinction. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus says, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and I am, behold, alive forever and ever. And I hold. You see that? Jesus says, and I hold the keys of death and hell. I hold the keys of death and Hades. And later on in Revelation 20, we're told that God sends an angel. He says, and I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss or to hell, and holding in his hand a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. And he goes on. Do you understand? This is really important, that the key to death is held in the hands of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And what the enemy uses is fear. He doesn't have death in his hands. He doesn't hold the key of death in his hands. But he will use fear to sometimes drive us to kill each other. In fact, I think that's what he does the most. Or to kill ourselves. He'll whisper things. He's got that kind of power. But he uses fear. And it's all what a terrorist would do. It's what a bully would do. I'm going to kill you, right? I'm going to take your life. You're dead. You're dead, right? And we haven't had the strength to stand up against him, which I hope we're going to learn to do today, to stand up against them and say, no, you don't. You don't have that kind of power. You cannot randomly just kill whoever you want. You still operate under the sovereign will of my Father God. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ, and only Jesus, holds the key of death and hell. When Jesus talked to Peter, remember what he said in Luke? He said, Simon, he didn't call him Peter because he knew that Simon was going to fall real badly, so he called him by his weaker name. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Did you get that? He's asked. He asked for permission. Somewhere along the line, he came to God and he said, God, I want to do something with Peter. I'd like to see him, you know, betray you. And he got permission. Now, I don't understand all the permission stuff, but what I do understand is that God is in control and the enemy does not get to go randomly about doing whatever destruction he wants to do. Someone once said that it's like he's a mad dog. He's rabid. He's this pit bull. And he's just going around destroying and killing and taking lives left and right. But the reality is that pit bull is still on a chain. And I know who's holding that chain. And he's, thank God that he's holding them back. Now, I'm not saying, and you know this from me, you've listened to enough times when I've spoken, I'm not saying that the enemy doesn't have power. I'm not saying that he isn't trying to destroy. I know what John 10:10 says, and we'll get into that too, that, you know, he comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. So don't misunderstand me, but let's understand where his power is centered, where it's focused, that the heart of his power is in fear, that the power of death is all about fear. And the reality is he's got a lot to work with because most people in the world are scared to death of death, right? People don't want to die. So he knows he can use this, and he'll use that to incite man against man, or he'll use fear to incite me against me. He'll work inside of me, right? I'll get depressed. I'll get angry. I'll get delusioned, or whatever it is, disillusioned, right? But the power of death, according to God's word, the power of death is in the hands of, the power is, if you say fear, yes, Satan has the power of death. If you understand what Hebrews 2 says, that the power of death is fear, he will use fear. But death itself is not in his hands, and he does not have the key to unlock or to give life or to give death. We're told that that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And it doesn't mean, and this is really important. For me, it changes how I face the world. It's who he may devour. He doesn't just get to go out like a roaring lion taking out everybody in sight. We get that in our heads. That's the theology we've been taught. But it isn't true. He only takes out who he may. When we make ourselves open to that, or maybe sometimes God gives him freedom. There's opportunities for that in Scripture sometimes. I don't understand all of that. I can't tell you. I can explain it all. But he only can go and devour those he may devour. You understand? So why does this matter? It matters because it changes how we walk the walk. It changes how we face the enemy. You know, we spend a lot of our lives doing this. We're pleading with that terrorist. Oh, please, please. You know, he's got this button. And the reality is that button, he's got this thing strapped to his chest with a bunch of whatever that's called, C something or other. You know, I'm going to blow you all up. I'm going to blow you to hell. You're going to go to hell or you're going to be dead. I'm going to kill you. And you know what we got to say is, no, you're not. You can't, you know, you're just trying to scare me. You're a terrorist and you're using scare tactics. And I'm going to stand against that. I'm going to take authority over you because God, through his son, Jesus Christ, has given me that authority. He has actually handed me and the church the keys to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The keys of life, the keys of death are not in your hand. Go ahead, hit the button. Because you can't do anything. You can't do anything that God doesn't allow. You are not God. Do you understand that Satan is not God? He is not even a God. He is an angel. But we make him out to be a God. We've watched way too many movies where there's a good guy and there's a bad guy, and the bad guy's got way more power, and then at the very end, the hero somehow, this crazy thing happens, and suddenly he saves the day. You know, the bad guy trips and dies somehow. You know, I got to tell you that in the Bible, it's nothing like that. The enemy is not way up here in power, right? You know, even with Jesus. He does not have any power. He is not, compared to Jesus, he is not God. He is a fallen angel. He is a fallen angel. And Corinthians says that now, because of Jesus Christ, because of Jesus, death has no victory. Death has no sting. You get that? Death has no sting. The best thing, here's the most powerful thing I can say to that terrorist with his thumb on that red button, is I am not afraid to die. Can you say that today? Like, I really believe this. I am not afraid to die. I am not afraid to die. I take the power out of his hand. You want to kill me? Go ahead. Man, I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to get out of this hellhole. Right? Watch, I'm sorry, but that's how I feel. You got nothing on me. You want to hit the button? Go right ahead. Right? But I'm not afraid to die. I'm afraid to live. Some days. You know what I'm saying? I'm afraid to live. I'm afraid to really live. I'm afraid to do the things he wants me to do. I'm afraid to talk to people sometimes. I'm afraid to heal or put my hands on someone and to heal them. I'm afraid sometimes to talk about Jesus. But I am not afraid to die. Death for me is going to be victory, and there is no sting in it. Right? And when we come to that point, we acknowledge it, we take away any power that he has, and we say, well, I have authority over you, Satan, because you are not the Lord of Lords. You're just a fallen angel. And I am in the hands, I am in the hands of my great God who loves me and who takes care of me. You agree with that? It changes. It's okay. Like I said, I hate those kind of claps, so this is to God's glory, right? When we do that, we're glorifying God. We're glorifying God because we have power, we have authority over death because Jesus Christ has died for us. It's what we read there, right? Because he came and because he died, the only power the enemy has, he has the power of death, which is fear. But when you recognize that you don't need to be afraid, when you recognize that Jesus, by his death, you put that back up again, Chad, that Jesus, by his death, has removed that power of fear, I'm not afraid anymore. Our whole world out there, if you don't know Jesus, most people are really afraid to die. If you have friends like I do who aren't Christians, you know, a lot of people are doing everything they can to live forever or try to. And so they go to the gym and they do special diets and they use silicone and makeup and other stuff to make themselves look younger. And all of it doesn't work at all, because in the end, there will always be death. But I'm not afraid of dying, right? I'm not afraid, and neither should you be, because Jesus, yeah, there you go, where, O death, is your victory? But Jesus has won the battle. Jesus came and he died, and because he sympathizes with us, because he's a high priest who is like us in every way, and because he rose from the dead, isn't that something? You get the, I get the shivers when I even say that out loud. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he stepped out of that empty tomb and he said, death, you're no longer an enemy that can defeat and can destroy my people. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. And it changes things. This is important because I'm not pleading with that guy anymore. I'm not pleading with that bully. I'm not saying, oh, please, 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 you know, don't kill me, don't kill me. I'm not doing this. I'm doing this. Jesus. I'm not praying to him. He's an enemy. You know this. He's an enemy. I don't have the time for this. I want my time and my life to be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew, okay. I need a drink, and then I'm going to tell you about the dead person. I know, you're going to go, nah. This can't be true. And honestly, no one else would this happen to but me. and my lovely wife. And she's going to confirm that this is true, because I know a lot of you guys are going to go, yeah, he's making this up. But here's what I'm going to say again. There has been a dead person living in my garage for over a year. Is this true? No, he's not. She has not been living there. So how do I say this? There has been a dead person in my garage. There's been a dead person in my garage for over a year. And here's the story, and it is like bizarro land. One day, about a year ago, came home and went into the garage, and on my freezer was two big boxes of all kinds of junk, like photo albums and a graduation degree thing, you know, and a black thing, and an old Bible. This Bible was in there. And I'm kind of figuring, who put all this junk in my freezer? And I'm looking through it all, and there's a Bible, and there's some names in it, and a whole bunch of pictures, like four photo albums, just full of pictures. And I'm going, I don't know this person. I don't know who this is. And we were just completely flabbergasted. What is all this stuff? And then there's this little bronze urn. And it says on there, this is Pam Zatto's remains. Anyone know Pam Zatto, by the way? Because I'd really like to. I'm trying to get a hold of this family. We haven't been able to do this. So for some reason, someone came and dropped off Pam Zatto and all her stuff. And I got a phone call later on in the morning from my neighbor. He knows I'm a Christian. And he says, yeah, I brought the box of stuff. I said, why did you bring all those boxes of stuff and put it on my freezer? He said, well, I thought it was for you because there was a Bible in there. He's not a Christian. He says, but someone dropped it off at my house, he said, and I know it wasn't mine, so, you know, I thought I'd bring it to you. Like, as if, because I'm a Christian, I know all the Christians, because there's a Bible in there, right? Like, it was kind of crazy, too, right? Just like, so, for a year now, and I finally got a phone call last night into someone from Walla Walla, Washington, that hopefully will be a son, or I think it's a brother of Pam. Anyways, I'm getting along here, but for a year, Pam has been in my garage, and I haven't known what to do with her. Now, she's been quiet, which has been good. She hasn't bugged the dogs, but you don't really want to go to a dumpster and just throw it all in a dumpster. And I kind of didn't know what else to do, so I finally found, you know, another tribute in there, and there's some names in here, and I'm trying to figure out who this person is. I really don't want Pam living in my garage anymore, or existing in my garage anymore. And what's the point? The point I want to make is, you know what? In the world, we don't know what to do with death. We don't know how to handle it. We don't know what to do when someone dies. We don't know what to do with the boxes of junk. We don't know what to do with Pam in the urn. We just don't know what to do with it. So we're pretty good with just passing it off to whoever will put it on a shelf. Because that's really the way it is in the world. We don't know what to do with death. Death is an enemy, and we're very uncomfortable with death, and we try to avoid it for all we are worth. All of it, right? We have funerals for people. We dress them up in a suit that they never wore before. We make them look good. We parade in front of them, and we go, wow. Boy, does he ever look good, right? Boy, he looks natural. No, he doesn't. He looks dead. Like, we can't even tell the truth, right? But we do that. We go to funerals. We say things about people that aren't true at all. We make up all kinds of lies. He was a wonderful person. We'll remember him forever in our hearts. Come on. We will not. We won't. But we just don't know what to do with death, and so we try to put a bow on it. We put it in a box, and by the way, we usually buy the expensive box because someone tells us, well, if you really like him, if you really loved him, you should, you know, upgrade into the oak, and there's a stereo in there in case, you know, he wakes up and he wants to listen to some. The reality is we don't know what to do with death, right? The other day, so what do? Is we lie. The other day, Billy Crystal was doing a eulogy for Muhammad Ali. And he said this, literally. He said, Muhammad Ali, you may be gone, but you will never die. Well, that's a lie. I mean, he is clearly dead. He has died. He is just a body, and he is going to deteriorate like everyone else. So the point is, I know I'm kind of belaboring this. I'll get to the point here. We don't know what to do with death. The world does not know what to do with death. Death is an enemy we're afraid of. We think that death is the absolute worst thing that could ever happen. But when you believe in Jesus, when you give your heart and your life to him, death does not hold that kind of clout. It does not have that kind of power, and you're no longer afraid. We can really, truly live with the risen Christ because he is alive. Amen? And that's a great message because it changes how we fight this fight. It changes what we do with our arms. We stand against that enemy and we say, you know what, death, if that's the best shot you got, my God, Jesus has already overcome death for me. So hit me with your best shot because I am going to continue to serve Jesus every day of my life. And I don't really care much about the oak basket or the bronze urn. I don't care much about the flowers or the flowery language or the monkey suit they're going to put me in. None of that matters. What matters is that I believed and I belonged to Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So, the response to that is that we come to him today and we've already given our gratitude, right? And we continue to do that. We say, Lord, I thank you that no matter what, no matter what the battle is, no matter what the struggle is, no matter what the hard things are, no matter what man tries to do to me, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to believe in you, Jesus. And I know that my life comes only from one source, and that source is Jesus Christ. And I don't know what's going on in your lives. But I know it's not easy. I know there are things going on in my life that are not easy. But God has never failed me. God has never abandoned me, and he'll never abandon you. He won't let you down. He won't take off on you. He will remain faithful. And like I said earlier, the one thing he keeps saying to me is, are you going to trust me? Just trust me. I am with you through the storm. I'm with you. Even when a storm rages, even when all the threats and there's a gun pointed at your head. Don't worry about the gun. Because I am your God. I am in control. Yeah, and I decide. Yeah. This morning, I just really feel that God wants me to give you, or he wants to give you the opportunity for prayer and for healing. I just think, you know, we don't do this enough. We don't pray for people's healing. And we ought to because God said to. He commanded us to. So if you need healing today, I want to invite you to come forward. And I want to be a part of it. I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask Crystal to come forward and maybe Tim and Barb, just four of us. It's good. You know, it's a fair question. What's going on in your body? What's going on in your life? And it's not always physical. Maybe it's anxiety. You're really anxious about something? Then I just invite you this morning to come for prayer. We're not going to pray for 20 minutes for every person because God knows exactly what you need. You can play that music, by the way. I like that. There you go. Yeah. No, that's good. I start to move when you do that. So maybe it's anxiety, or maybe there's something going on in your life right now that's really broken and you don't know how to fix it. And the reality is you can't fix it. But you can come to God, and he says, I'll be with you, and I'm going to take the fear away. What are you afraid of? Isn't that a good question? If we're honest, if I'm honest, man, there have been some things that have been just terrifying. But Jesus Christ is Lord. And there's only one place to go. And that's to him. Right? Where are you broken? Sometimes God allows us to find ourselves broken so that he can put us back together in the way he wants us to be. So death, where is your sting? That song says. Death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, I'm going to ask you to come for prayer. If you need something from God today, don't just leave. Just come. It's his invitation, right? Tim and Barb, would you come up, and Crystal? And let's pray together. Just let God speak to your heart. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are sovereign God, that you're in control. And when our lives are completely out of control, all we can do is just come back to you, Jesus. We need you to heal us. There's some of us here today have significant health problems. Some of us are anxious. Some of us are really worried. Some of us are in a broken relationship. We can't fix this. But we know that you tell us to come to you, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and you will give us rest. And so today, we come for rest. You are alive. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's time. Let's just come for prayer. If you need something from God today, it's a great thing. I don't know.